Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary, and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. When will we want that? As the songwriter stated, for I am weak and weary, helpless and defiled. If we know that of ourselves, then we will say with the songwriter, tell me the old story of Jesus and His love.
Yeah.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3, concerning parents and children. Reading there, verse 20 of the third chapter. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We have also much the same message as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's give thanks for that instruction. The right way is there, before our eyes, and in our ears if we hear it read. Let's pray that God will make it effectual in both our lives as parents, grandparents, and children. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name for all that is given, particularly Thy giving Christ, Thy giving Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Make us also to know, Father, first of all, our enmity against Thee and against Christ, the light, as He could tell us further, that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And we pray that we as parents and children will not hate the light, that we will know, as the psalmist could say, Thy word is a light unto my path, and that may be a light once again in our generation, when we see, not only as we have been thinking recently, husbands and wives, so many broken homes, but also the difference in parents and children, the older generation and the younger, and the division that is there. And Father, we pray and plead that we might recognize what is taking place in society, in our nation, in the church, in the home, and throughout the world, and the trouble that this can bring. As, Lord, You've told us by the pen of Paul of the perilous times that would come, and we fear and believe that they are already upon us. Men are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents. And Father, without natural affection also in the lives of parents, we pray that Thou would teach us these things in repentance, that we might hear Thy word and turn from it, and that the full fulfillment of those words and the results of it, society waxing worse and worse, will not continue, and we will not live in the end result of it, Thy wrath, Thy judgment, the destruction, possibly of our nation. We pray, Father, that the church especially might be revived, awakened itself to come to a godly sorrow, as the church at Corinth, and then, Father, also, that it might bring repentance and the message to the rest of the world. We pray, Father, for homes to be reconciled. We continue to think of husbands and wives. And, Father, we believe that that may have to take place first before we can see our children changing, coming to Thee, coming to the right ways, coming to obey parents, coming to have the promise that they may live long on the earth. And we pray, Father, for these things through Christ, and give thanks that we can ask in His name and not on our own. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs of those in homelessness, hunger, the sick, the injured, the older ones, the war-torn lands, especially the women that are experiencing the human trafficking and the kidnapping. We pray that this might be recognized in our nation and throughout the world in a far greater way than it is, and that, again, the church might soon preach the gospel to every creature. That is the only and ultimate answer that can change these wicked things. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are. We ask for thy blessing on our leaders, our presidents in each country, prime ministers. We pray that thou put thy fear in their hearts, that they might have the beginning of wisdom and might continue in it through Christ. Amen. We have been speaking about husbands and wives. Other things along with it, the terrible sin of abortion that fathers and mothers are both guilty of, not always husbands and wives, because with many, these things take place outside of marriage or before marriage, but they all take place with fathers and mothers. No child is born without a father. No child is born without a mother, whether they be young or old. Each child has to come in the world in that way. And there should be what we especially used to think of as the mother's love. And when we are heartened that unborn are killed, it can have an effect on the rest of society. It can have effect on the young people that are growing up into this. I saw a picture recently of what was described as the Women's March, the earlier part of this year. Another one was some time ago with inauguration of our president. And the signs that were carried by little children were terrible. Sexual, little, small children, and hateful. One group talking about the other party of our country hating them. We hate them. Even signs showing we want to continue with the abortion of children, the killing of children. We're openly wicked, openly in danger of bringing God's wrath down upon us. And we have to sadly say, it's not just the world. When we think of abortion, many that have had it said they are part of the church. And I've even talked to one woman locally. She said, you would be sadly surprised how many in the church have had this terrible thing of killing their unborn. Had a woman in my own church right here. Sat and talked to her an hour, and she says, I killed my baby. And she just was in mental stress. And almost ever since, she's continuing that. That's the kind of society we're living in. That must be stopped, turned. We must have Christ to do today what Peter spoke about shortly after the day of Pentecost, when he said, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning every one of you from his iniquities. Iniquity isn't probably a common word for us to use. It just means sinfulness. It really means filthy ways. To turn every one of you from his iniquities. Every one. Only one can do it. Jesus Christ. God sent him to do that. And then it's not just one that needs it. Everyone needs that, to turn every one of you from his iniquities. I can remember a number of years ago, quite a number, probably between 55 and 60 years ago, hearing a preacher preach to the up and outs. He says, sometimes we preach to the down and outs. We preach to those that can't hardly live in society, but those that can live in society and are proud of it are the up and outs. Many times, every one of us has to be turned from our iniquity, whether it be the open sins that might even put people in prison, or whether it be the sins of just sitting in pride. Pride goeth before a fall. God resisteth the proud. And again, if we are going to speak these words to our children, our grandchildren, others, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're going to have to remember what was in this fifth chapter of Ephesians and what was earlier in this third chapter of Colossians. And that is, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. If we don't do that, can we expect our children to obey us? For the first place, it won't be a home of order. It won't be a home of blessing. It won't be a home of quietness. And many times it brings children to frustration, even anger. I've read of a child, a girl, writing to someone to get advice in the local paper. Articles there are given to certain ones that they ask for advice and they give them advice. See, every time my parents have strife, it makes me angry and I start breaking things. Can we then say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? If we as parents aren't rightly in the Lord ourselves, haven't come to the Lord in repentance, haven't come to the Lord in faith, haven't come as Paul, who wrote these words both to the Ephesians and the Colossians, stating, who art thou, Lord? And along with it, what wilt thou have me to do? It fell on me for Paul. As David also, Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I am the guilty one, as Nathan had said to him somewhat earlier. First telling him of someone that had done an evil deed made David very angry. He said, that man is going to be punished. That man should die. And then Nathan said, thou art the man. David, you're the one. And David rightly said, I have sinned. I have to say that. You have to say that. Fathers, mothers, we have to say it first. If we don't, our children won't learn. They won't have an example. They see us doing contrary to what we tell them to do. It can make them angry, but it won't make them obedient. It won't make them humble. And if they do it and are forced to do it, it will be with frustration. It will not be with admiring and being thankful for such parents. We have it all through Scripture. We have it at the very beginning of Scripture. God telling us already by Himself speaking from Mount Sinai, when He gave what we call the Ten Commandments. We read recorded in Exodus chapter 20. God spake all these words. The people heard Him speaking from the top of the mount. The mountain quaked. And then, after other commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It was an integral part of obedience. Many times Israel, a generation, didn't stay long on the land. God allowed enemies to come. And finally, God even allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and destroy many cities and Jerusalem, breaking the wall, burning the temple. Many killed, not all by Nebuchadnezzar, some by the famine, some by the pestilence, some by north and beast, and others by the sword. And then there were those carried away captive. God had given many years of warning by Jeremiah the prophet, told them to repent, and they would not remove. But they mocked him until finally there was no remedy, no help from God. He sent his prophets earlier because he had compassion on his people and his place. I think we could say God still has compassion on our nation. We have to believe that what he shows of history to others and has that written in his word can be applied to us as well as to other nations that have known the ways of the Lord much more in the past than the present. England has had blessing. Europe has had blessing. We've just commemorated the 500th year of the Reformation that took place then and the effect that it had throughout the world of Europe and England, and then the effects of it later after our country was settled, and mainly by those who had learned to believe there first in England and Europe. And some of them, being revived, were persecuted in England especially, and then came to this country because of that, our pilgrim forefathers. They were more godly, far more godly than we. And as I have been stating in the last weeks, the number of divorces then were few, very few. Now they're very many. Abortion has taken place in a terrible way in the last number of years. People are proud in it. Those that want that even say openly, I've read it. No use talking to people that are called conservative. They don't understand. Murderers think that people that want to save life don't understand. No, they don't understand the same way. They don't understand that the more wickedness we do, the more in danger we are. In a way, we do understand it. And we fear and tremble. And we need to. And we need to wake up. Parents, myself as a grandparent, great-grandparent, we need to say before God, we haven't always done right in teaching our children. We have it in the book of Deuteronomy. Many things that were instruction. We can read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, speaking to parents, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Should be the last thing at night, the first thing in the morning. Liest down, risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. How we need that everywhere. Somewhat later, Moses said, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of his law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land to possess it. That was especially the farewell shortly before Israel was to be led into Canaan by Joshua. We read also in the Psalms, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. First of all, we as parents have to do that. Not just children come. We have to be ready to call them, ready to teach them. I'm afraid we are, like Paul also wrote to Timothy, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sometimes, seemingly, the most important thing in the school is the games. That gets people excited. And it takes much of the time, both of parents and children. There may be good things in it, where they can do these things together, but also it can be beyond what is right when it is as God said. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sometimes changing the whole way of life of people. The whole latter part of the afternoon, the evening, gets swallowed up by games, practice, playing, sometimes one night after another. And I've heard people say, it changed our life. It isn't done then. when we rise up and lie down, to teach the Word of God. How thankful we can be that we have that Word of truth, that Word both in teaching and example. Example of those who were blessed. And that promise, children, obey your parents that you may live long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Every place we are, our land, Europe, England, God gave it. God gave it to our parents or our grandparents or the generations past. And now he's giving it to us. And one thing that's happening in our nation is that we are despising the past. We want to throw history away or change it or deny it. We're doing it. Our schools are teaching it, teaching things against what God has given our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, the earlier generations, despising it. It is getting to be a danger. And as I said, those who call themselves progressive are the most regressive, bringing sin to the forefront. And the danger of bringing judgment upon us and our children. We're there. We're there in danger. Christ said, when some were killed, were they worse sinners than others? He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Perish. And that can be eternally. One answer. God gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. And we have to believe not only that he died for our sin and rose again, but that he must turn every one of us from our iniquities, myself and you. Do you believe it?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel. Praise the Lord.